Morning. If it hasn't already been mentioned, David is at camp, and that's exactly what you want when you're filling in. That's not working. Let me see if I can do it here. Well, that's not working either. Let me try to end it and start. There we go. All right. So I'm sorry, please bear with me while I kind of fumble through my points for a couple hours this morning. And standing up here this morning, you know, I'm used to sitting over there and looking up this way. And fortunately, I took a little bit different perspective this morning on how to prepare for church, how to prepare for what I was going to talk about today. And so I thought that was an appropriate lesson. So we'll talk about perspective this morning. I'm going to start by asking you a question. What do you see when you look at that picture? Probably see a frog, but if you kind of look at the picture sideways, maybe turn your head a little bit, you probably see a horse, right? The point I'm trying to make there, kind of turn it to the right shoulder, the point I'm trying to make there is that depending on how we look at things, right, depending on our perspective, in this case, the angle of our head, we see things differently, right? And how we choose to look at things matters. It's important, right? In other words, perspective is everything, right? So, give you another example. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, for those of you that don't know, you know, Andrew had a heart transplant, right? When that happened, it was an answer to our prayers as, you know, me, my family, I'm sure for all of you. But I've spent a lot of time in that last year thinking about the perspective of the family that lost a child. The family that, you know, child's no longer with them. And Andrew was able to receive his heart, have a chance at life outside of the hospital, right? For obvious reasons, they have a different perspective on that day, right? Their perspective is different. How they remember that day is different. Their grief is understandable, while at the same time, about the same event, our joy is probably understood, right? So does it matter if we see everything the same, right? In some things, I would say that we need to be in harmony, right? So consider, well, I think about perspective. I think about, let's compare. We read in 1 Peter 2 to open our service this morning. Jesus, to those who believe, is a cornerstone. To those who don't believe, he's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, right? Another example, I can think of Luke chapter 12, right? Jesus taught a parable about a rich, foolish man whose idea of wealth, his perspective on wealth was what we gather here in this world, what we can see with our eyes, feel with our hands, right? How we experience life. Jesus said, that's not wealth, right? Store up your treasures in heaven. True wealth is what we store up for eternal life beyond this one. So I wanted to bring up those points because what we're not talking about this morning is I'm not talking about our perspective, how we look at things versus how the world looks at things, how individually I might look at something or how you might look at something. But what I rather want to do is consider whether or not we align with God's perspective on things. And more specifically, how do we do that, right? So again, not if we are aligning with God's perspective, but how do we align with God's perspective? And so I've prepared three recommendations that I have for you. I think we start with humility and prayer and service, right? I'll start with humility. Simply put, and here in a moment, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3, simply put, what I mean by humility, I mean that recognize the limitations of our perspective, right? We start by recognizing that we are not able to see everything the same way that God is. We have a very limited perspective in this world. We only see typically what's right in front of our face, right? I want to read in, again, chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to start down in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. The point is that we have to trust what God sees. We don't have the ability and the perspective to see beyond what, again, what's right in front of us here. So I have a story for that, and some of you may have heard this before. And if you have, then, you know, my apologies, but I think it makes the point. So there was a farmer, and he had a son, and they had a horse, right? One day the horse ran away, and the neighbors came to the farmer, and they said, hey, your only horse ran away. You know, what horrible luck. And the farmer said, well, maybe so, maybe not. We'll see. Right? A couple days later, the horse returned, and following it was five wild horses. So the neighbors came to him, and they said, wow, look at this. What great luck. Your horse came back, brought with it five wild horses. Now you have six horses. He said, well, maybe so, maybe not. We'll see. A couple days later, the farmer's son was trying to, you know, break in one of those wild horses, train it to be able to work on their farm, and he fell and he broke his leg, right? Neighbors came and said, hey, your son broke his leg. He can't help you anymore. What terrible luck, you know? Farmer said, well, maybe so, maybe not. We'll see. And then the last thing after that, a couple weeks later, you know, the army comes to town. They're trying to recruit all the able-bodied young men because they have a war they have to go and fight in a far-off land. Farmer's son, leg still broken, is unable to go, right? And you can see where this is going, right? We don't really know why things are happening right now. We don't know what that sets us up for tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now. What we need to do is have humility to trust that God, who does have an infinite perspective, knows what's best for us, right? Lean not on your own understanding and trust that God has it in control, and he will lead all of our paths straight to him. Second recommendation, prayer. Right? But prayer, I purposely made this the second point because it is prayer with humility, right? We start with humility, then we approach God in prayer. So we can bring our cares and concerns to God. We can also bring our joys and gratitude to him, but we always do that, again, with humility. And I think what I kind of find is the ultimate example of this. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 26. That will be the next passage I read. But Jesus, before he was going to face what he knew was coming, what he knew his purpose was here in this world, right? Directly before that, he decided he's going to go to the garden and he's going to take his disciples. He's going to spend time in prayer. But I want to take a look at how he prays, right? How he prays and what he says. Starting in verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Sorry, put that up there for you. It's not working again. There we go. Three times, right? So I think the point I wanted to make here was ask repeatedly. We don't have to understand why we're about to do what we're doing. In this case, I think it's rather clear. Jesus understood exactly why he was doing what he was doing and where he was going. Right? He had that perspective already, yet he still took a moment to provide us an example. Right? Knowing when we're facing challenges, it says he fell on his face. He was down on the ground, bowing before God, right? Saying to him, Father, three times, if it's possible, let this crucifixion pass from me, right? Don't make me face it if it's possible, but then how did he end it? Three times. Not my will, but yours. Not what I want to do, what you want to do, right? What do you want? And I will tell you this, I think of everything that we're going to talk about this morning is probably the biggest challenge I know I would individually have. You know, I have a hard time. I would never go to my boss and say, sir, not, you know, when I want to go on vacation, when do you want me to take days off of work, right? I hardly even do that when it comes to my daily tasks, you know, like, hey, what do you want me to do this week? I really want to do what I want to do. But we can't do that when it comes to God, right? So we started with humility, right? We lead into prayer. How do we pray? Pray that God's will be done. This is how, again, we're aligning our perspective. How do we align our perspective with God's? And so our third recommendation, and this will be the final recommendation, service. I would recommend to you that one of the things we do to align ourselves with God and His perspective is to find purposeful and meaning work to do. Right? To go back to Andrew's heart transplant, I'll tell you, I know one of the things I heard from a lot of directions, both here at work, a lot of other places, Katia heard it as well. And I'm sure you can think of times in your life where people said this to you. I don't know how you all are getting through this. I don't know how you're handling it. Well, I'm going to tell you, and I bet a lot of you would probably say the same thing in your most difficult times. How you dealt with it, you were just simply too busy to stop and spend time thinking about it a lot of times, right? We were too busy. We had three other children. I was still balancing my job in the Marine Corps. You know, Andrew required a lot of work. We were driving back and forth. We just simply were too busy to stop and think about, you know, what is our perspective on this? Why us? Why do we have to deal with it? So I think that is one way that we align ourselves with God. We stay busy. And where I want to look at that, if we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll start down in verse 6. Paul says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourself know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." I wanted to finish with that one, and I will readily admit if it seems like, hey, here are three verses, you know, do they really tie together? Well, I think what ties them together is that, again, in Proverbs, we need to understand where we stand, like where we are in the grand scheme of things. Not looking at ourselves, looking at God. Prayer, how do we pray with humility? But then also staying busy. There's a reason why Paul taught the Thessalonians and told them to stay busy. Because when we're not busy, right, we have time to sit down and consider, well, you know, what's important to me? What do I think is good and bad? You know, why do I think this is happening? Right? And I don't think all of the time that ends up, we'll say, being useful, right? So I guess my recommendation again is in moments of great joy, right, in moments of challenges, everywhere in between, carry on with the labor that you're given. And I think what you'll find is that between, you know, our families, our church, serving other church members, that you're just very often simply too busy to stop and consider things from your own perspective, because God's provided us enough labor in this world. So we began by testing our perspective, and we're going to start getting into the closing. This isn't going to be maybe as long as we're used to, but I do want to close with one more scenario. And I want to consider what perspective we look at. What are our thoughts on death? Right? So I'll tell you, since I keep going back to Andrew's heart transplant, I've watched a lot of families were not in our situation. Their children never got to go home with them, right? They lost their child in their medical ordeal. And, you know, one of the things that struck me about that is, what would that feel like? I've not had to face it. I can't imagine how horrible that is. I don't know if anybody here has ever had to face that. And in fact, I can think of at least some. And I can't imagine how horrible that would be. But our perspective on that, I think God's perspective on that, I want you to consider, well, how would you feel if that child, instead of dying young, we'll say as a child or an infant, grew up to adulthood, very much physically alive, but spiritually dead, right? Growing up, choosing to reject the will of God. How would that make us feel as Christians? And I think that puts things in better perspective. I don't know why some children die and some children grow old. I don't have answers to that. But I do know, keeping it in perspective, aligning with God's perspective, the point is that we would grow old that if we grow old, we would grow old serving Him. And if we don't, and if our children don't, then we would understand that, you know, hey, there's a reason for that, and we don't have to understand it to be able to get past it. Right? So what I want to point out about death is that we all have death coming, right? We have a physical death coming, and we know that. But our perspective on it changes when we consider that everything in my life is not right here in front of me. I'm looking beyond this to eternal life because God has promised us that, right? God has promised that you know, we have a certainty of life beyond this broken world. So what I'd ask you this morning, as I'm standing here and as we're closing, if you have a perspective of worldliness or finite pleasures, if you're looking around you every day, figuring out how you can serve yourself, right, then I would say let's consider today if you are ready to begin a journey of humility, a journey of prayer, a journey of service. For those of you, most of you, who have already made that commitment, I would ask you, hey, are we having challenges with that, right? Do we often find ourselves throughout the day having a hard time with something, right? And being able to look at it and say, well, this, whatever's going on right now, this is God's will. He's still in control, right? Humbling ourselves to recognize that we are only here for a time. And that any pain that we're dealing with, but any joy that we're dealing with, is fleeting. It will pass. And we need to look beyond that. Right? So if you have already started that journey and you're looking for support here this morning, you're having challenges with it, we welcome you to come. Certainly those, if you have not made that commitment yet, we would invite you now. You can come forward. You can speak with our elders privately after church, or you can come forward now as we stand and sing together.
This world is not my home.